Welcome to Check It Out Comrade, an indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you two games and tell you why they're cool and why you should check them out. I'm Nick Lauber.
And I'm Gary Butterfield.
And this week we are doing Volgar the Viking and Guacamelee.
Indeed. Two very different platformers.
Yeah, but both platformers with some really interesting aspects to them. So let's go ahead and jump straight into Volgar the Viking then.
Yeah.
So Volgar the Viking, like we said, it's a platformer. It's a very like retro 16-bit style. It looks like a Sega Genesis game, like in every aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And it was made by guys calling themselves Crazy Viking Studios, started up via Kickstarter, and then eventually was published on, I believe, just Steam?
I think so, yeah, by Adult Swim Games.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, because Adult Swim Games, previous to this point, like I just associated with, you know, jokes that I was going to, you know, we're going to get old.
Right.
After a couple, you know, a couple play sessions, like there have been, you know, some more substantial Adult Swim games, but I think this is their first foray into a not explicitly humorous, you know, game with a little bit more meat to it.
Yeah. I think you're right too.
Yeah.
Gary, what do you think is neat and interesting about Volgar the Viking?
Volgar the Viking is a taking some modern kind of intelligence and applying it to a really old, you know, game design philosophy, in that it is, you know, tough as shit.
Yeah.
And has that kind of Dark Souls, I'm probably going to name check Dark Souls a few times.
Yeah.
That predictability to things, like things will react the same way, your character will react the same way every time. That makes it is like a game about mastery. Like it's very difficult. When you die, you start over. You know, their checkpointing is very, there's no save. The checkpointing is very unforgiving. But the, making your way through this very, it's immensely satisfying.
Yeah.
Like that is what it's trying to scratch.
It feels a lot like, you know, there's a lot of arcade platformers that feel this difficult, but they don't have that predictability element. They have, you know, quarter biting.
Yep.
Like elements to them that are specifically meant to be rage inducing quarter eaters. But this one, every death feels like your fault, and you know that you should have done something differently.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Like it reminds me, it plays a little bit like ActRaiser 2, which is kind of weird. Like
the platform elements of ActRaiser 2. Yeah.
Platforms like ActRaiser 2, except with ActRaiser 2, I think that there's still some kind of bullshit, you know, infinitely, you know, edge spawning and stuff like that.
Right.
Which like there's a couple areas in this game where there are unlimited enemies will come in, but they're very intentional. Like it's not, you're not always going to be fighting regular Contra enemies, you know, kind of foot soldiers.
Right.
There's just a couple set pieces that work that way. But for the most part, it's you can stop, assess a situation and figure out how to get through it perfectly. And it's one of those things that like rewards knowledge. Like I know what's, you know, it has that compression of space that Dark Souls does where, you know, getting through the first two worlds, I died so many times doing it. And then, I picked up to refresh my memory for the show and got through the first two worlds on the second try.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? Exactly. It's all about knowing exactly what he says. It's all knowledge. So what makes you good at the game is not leveling up or, you know, Twitch reflexes. It's knowing what the level is going to be and how to dodge every enemy and all that good stuff.
You don't have like a Devil May Cry. Like there's nothing flashy to how you move. Like you do need reflexes, but it has like a satisfaction to perfectly pulling off certain things.
Yeah.
And the things you're going to pull off are going to be fairly simple. You know, like you have a very limited verb set, which helps out a lot in that, you know, you have this just kind of small number of pieces of the puzzle and trying to figure out and you have everything you need. And trying to figure out the exact way to do it and executing it perfectly just feels awesome.
Yeah.
Like,
there's very little guesswork needed because all the tools you know right off the bat.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the opposite of a roguelike.
Yeah. That's
like,
true.
It is, you know, you have very few, you know, very little in the way of power ups, and there is nothing unpredictable or random really going on. Yeah, and it has, and I guess, like, the reason why Adult Swim Games probably bid on it is because it has this, like, retro, ultra-violent, barbarian aesthetic.
Yeah.
To it.
And plays it off pretty well. Like it's a very pretty game for being, you know, stylized after 25-year-old game. So
specifically, like a Sega game too, which is rare. Like I feel like most retro-inspired games will look more like an SNES game or an NES game,
right?
But this looks like a Genesis game, like the kind of like slightly muted color palette, you know, and then just kind of the shape of the sprites.
Yeah, I can't describe exactly every element about it makes it look like it, but it. Immediately comes Sega Genesis will come to mind to anybody who sees this.
Yep, indeed. But yeah, it just feels awesome when you actually get through an area, like, or when you make it to one of these checkpoints. It just feels great. Like beating the first boss felt great. Like I put it on Facebook, that made me feel like I beat the Capra Demon.
you know,
like it's just, and then the same thing with the Capra Demon or like a Dark Souls boss. Like now that I know how to do it, it's not a big deal.
Right.
Like the boss is easy. But yeah, and I haven't gotten very far in this game, like to full disclosure, there's a swimming area in the second world that, is really hard and I can't quite get through it, but yeah,
I think I've gotten even less far than you have, but enjoy it nonetheless. And we'll be putting more time into it. So
yeah. Yeah. Neither of us are an expert on this. And you're not, I mean, it's a super difficult platformer.
Right.
Like, you know, we weren't going to end up beating it necessarily for the show.
I'm actually going to look this up real quick because I want to see. This seems ripe for speedruns.
Yeah, I've watched a speedrun.
Did you?
There is there's like a 14-minute speedrun or a 12-minute speedrun.
Oh, neat.
Is really impressive to fucking watch.
I see a 19-minute one, which is there's a 17 right there. That's pretty impressive.
It's really fun to watch. Because there's no glitching or anything that happens in it, which is
right.
One reason why speedrunning can be fun. The other reason why speedrunning is fun is watching somebody be a master at something.
Yeah,
and that's what the itch that this scratches.
Right, like Dark Souls has its own like subset of speedruns that's all just people being really good at the game, not necessarily taking advantage of any glitches. Although there are some that can make it pretty entertaining.
Like all boss runs in Dark Souls.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like you just have to be good at everything.
Level one runs, like,
yeah,
yep. pretty crazy. And the same thing can happen here, where it's just, let's see how good this person is at this game.
Yeah, it's funny too, like the way, like whenever you have one of these ultra difficult games, and this happens to me when I haven't put tons of time into Spelunky, but it happens to me in Spelunky as well, is when you start doing bad, it's like an immediately a avalanche.
Yeah,
you know, like it's a real slippery slope. Like You never have very much margin for error. Like you collect equipment in this game, which acts as your extra hits,
mm-hmm.
and you never get more than like I think if you have your helmet, do you lose your helmet when you get hit, or do you still lose your shield?
You lose your helmet before you lose your shield.
Okay, so at most you can have 3 hits before you die, but on your last hit you don't have a shield, which is pretty shitty.
Yep,
and you're more likely to die. So like if you start dying, you're going to keep dying. And that's how this felt.
If you lose your shield, you lose the javelin upgrade too.
Yeah, which is insane because you need that thing so bad. Like,
yeah.
not having your shield is just nuts. And they're pretty far, few and far between. And in later levels, like in what I've watched people play the game, the chest ended up being guarded and in really difficult situations to get to.
Oh, that sucks.
Which is just diabolical. Like, you know, because you need that shit.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, it's your health and your abilities basically all in one. Actually, you know, does the helmet give you anything other than another hit?
No, I think the helmet just gives you... It definitely doesn't give you anything.
Okay.
You just need it before you can get the actual, like, flame sword.
Right.
Which is the final thing. And then that's it. Like, I kept expecting, like, oh, maybe, you know, much like a shooter, like, if you're playing Gradius, you start out really weak, but eventually you get enough power-ups to where you're just shooting giant laser beams all the way across the screen
just all filled up.
And it makes the game, you know, much easier. And I thought, oh, after this fire sword, what am I going to get? And nope. You know, points. Like the fire sword is the end of the upgrade path and you just get points at that point. It should be noted this game is kind of weirdly obtuse in some ways too, and the way that old games are. Like you can actually, once you get to a world, you can skip other worlds from what I've read by going left when you first start the game. I got to the water world and did that and it didn't skip to the water world. I still started over, which makes me wonder if the water world is not actually a separate world. Like maybe you fight a couple different bosses and that counts as a new world.
Oh wow!
I don't know, but I couldn't. Every time I played this, I've had to start from the beginning. So that's probably one of the reasons why I haven't put more time into it, because I want to start with that water world, which is really tough, and spend a little bit of time with it. But, you know, I have to go through the main world every time I want to do that.
Yeah, I'll probably be putting a fair bit more time into this in between other games, just because it's a very rewarding challenge game.
Yep. So introduce lots of new like stuff too. Like I like how the second world, like all the enemies behave in ways that are different than the first world. There's no equivalent of just the lizard man soldiers.
Nice.
So there's like fishmen, but they behave in a real different way. So it feels like it's the kind of game that's gonna be really good at stacking new challenges, you know, on each level. And the second level looks really different too, an entirely different kind of architecture and color palette and everything.
Cool.
Which is really cool. Like it makes me wanna play more of it.
Neat.
Yep. So yay. Like all go right, go check out if you have tolerance for difficult games, like I think that this game is immensely satisfying and worth
it. Agree.
Yep.
It's a very cool little thing. And I won't, after seeing it, looking back that it was a Kickstarter game, it was like not very highly funded, and an amazing game came out of it. So,
yeah.
Like, support this guy. It's definitely worth buying his super cool game and seeing what else he can come up with.
I love modest products. Like, I love something that comes out for not very much money and is still actually great without having, you know, ridiculous production values or, you know, kind of bloat. Like, we've talked about it before, but this whole, like, I, you know, as much as I'm very interested in Double Fine Adventure, I don't give a shit that they have Elijah Wood. Like, I don't need it. Yeah. I don't need it. Like, I would rather have a game, you know, that, like, the kind of stuff, like, can only take you so far. Like, I feel like you get a terminal velocity of production value.
Yeah, I agree.
Pretty quick.
I was really anticipating Double Fine Adventure when the Kickstarter first came up, and now, yeah, I echo your feeling. Like, now the scope is just entirely too big. So this is a refreshing, very small scope game that was just incredibly well done.
It's what I want, like, out of Kickstarter, more or less.
Yeah.
You know? So, very, very well done. And, no, I mean, not that, like, I'm going to give Double Fine Adventure a shot. This isn't just the, like, bash Double Fine Adventure cast,
no,
but...
I'm sure it'll be a fine game. It was just not what
yeah,
I was looking for.
I'm just, yeah, exactly. It's going to end up, like, spending time on things I don't, and money that I don't care about.
Yep.
So, whereas this, like, every cent is well used, you know? Like, much like the game itself, like, every single thing feels well placed.
Agreed.
You know? No fat on this pig.
All right. So with that, let's move on to Guacamelee.
Which
is another platformer. It's developed by Drinkbox Studios, and originally it came out for PS Vita and PS3.
Mm-hmm.
And then this summer they ported it to PC.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
So I'll be able to play it.
It is another, like, it's a 2D co-op. I don't think we've tried the co-op, but...
No, but I bet you it's amazing.
I bet you it's fantastic.
Yeah, every time I see that, like, it looks like it just would be tons of fun.
And as the name suggests, it's got this, like, Mexican luchador theme to it that inspires the art and the characters, so...
Yeah, and the music and everything.
Yep.
Yeah, and it is a Metroidvania.
Yeah.
So the on Wikipedia it says it is a 2D platformer / beat 'em up, but that doesn't seem, you know, that's true, but like beat 'em up, I think Final Fight, like I think
right.
Quarter munching cheapness and shit, and that's not the case here.
Yeah,
it's Metroid.
Yeah. Well, and the fighting system is really like different from Metroid. Obviously, you're melee attacking, not shooting stuff, but it's really cool, like combo-based system that is incredibly like fulfilling. Like it's so fun to beat the crap out of something to the point where it didn't manage to even get any hits in or anything like that.
Yeah. And like kind of the big innovation is that after you hit something enough times you can grab it and throw it.
Yeah.
And you can do it in any direction, which will stun other guys. So there are a lot of kind of arenas that the game will set up where you have to fight waves of small enemies or a lot of small enemies. And it can just be really fun just throwing enemies into the chaos and having them, you know, bounce all around the room. You can also upgrade all these moves that you get. So there are like different moves you can buy and find, which help a lot. It does the thing like the best Metroid power-ups where like it not only unlocks a new area, but also gives you functionality.
Yep.
So, you know, you'll get something that allows you to get through a certain block, but it also is a really powerful move.
Every single ability is like that. They're not only like to access new areas, they're also attacks that do more damage, and also like movement options that can get you to spaces you couldn't get to. Every single power up does that.
Yep.
Which is really awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Because there's nothing more boring than finding a key in a video game.
Right.
Like I think that that's the worst objective. Like I feel like you can have in a video game. Like probably not. That's probably not exactly true. But one of the worst objectives is like, okay, well if I find this key, I can go through this door. You know, that's pretty bland. Like if you can spice it up, it's going to be a lot more interesting.
So the main like gameplay elements of this are pretty much just straight Metroidvania stuff. And you gain it's a little more linear than Super Metroid is. You can kind of break out of the shell in Super Metroid a little bit more, but and most Castlevanias you can take your own routes to a certain extent. So it is like fairly linear, and it's about, I think it took me about 8 hours to play through, 7 or 8 hours. But it's very well spaced. Like every power up is spaced evenly throughout the game, and each level layout is tailored to the movement abilities you'll have at that point. To the point where like you're always challenged in the platforming and the fighting. It's a very good ramp up, I think, compared to most games.
Yeah. I'm not very far into the game. I'm about halfway through or near the end of the desert.
Mm-hmm.
So I did the kind of big temple that right. you do where you get a bunch of power ups, and I'm chasing the fire headed guy right now.
Right. Yeah.
And the temple though, like every time you'd get a new power, there'd be a couple rooms after it that like almost in a way that almost reminded me of Portal. Like, how do I use this tool to like traverse this area? It's not like Portal. There's no portal gun. You know, it's not. But that's what it reminded me of. Like,
yeah,
tricky puzzle platforming that was not reflex based. Like, just you know, based on how do I combine these different movements that I can make.
Right.
And like this light world, dark world thing, which also will make certain platforms come in and out of space. Like, it's very neat. You know, it's a lot of elements from a lot of different games put together that work real well.
Yeah, it's very cohesive for how much they've thrown into it.
Yeah.
And the platforming, the puzzle platforming is really entertaining in the later game, or in the late portions of the game, because you have to make use of all the different elements you've gotten up to that point, and they do a very good job of, like you said, when you first get a power, you know you have to use that for the next room. Like, yep. it's blatantly obvious. But then by the time you get to the end, you have to use, like, mixtures of stuff, and it's really easy to, like, go through one room and then come to the next room, can't figure out how to get through it, and forget that you had this movement ability that totally works for it perfectly. It's very skillfully like done level design, and it's probably something I haven't seen in a platformer in a good while.
Yeah,
it's very clean and like intricately designed.
Yeah, clean is a good word for it. There are a lot of like little design polish things too that are really impressed me, like one of the early boss style encounters involves you running away from like a giant beast as the scenery kind of crumbles around you, which has been seen 1,000 times in platformers. But right before it, there's a long dialogue sequence, and the game doesn't just give you the option to skip it. It's just when you get up there, the dialogue sequence is already done.
Yep.
Like, you don't even do it. You just go immediately into the boss encounter. Like, it knows that I don't want to see that again.
Right.
You know, and that's like a really nice touch. Like, don't, you know, I could see, because it took me several tries. It's kind of a hard encounter. But I would have gained so much bad will for the game if I had to watch these people jabberjaw,
yep.
you know, beforehand each time. It's also funny. Like, the game is pretty charming. Like, it's never, like, laugh out loud, but there are lots of little references to other games.
Yeah.
And it, you literally get your power from Chozo statues.
Yep.
From Metroid by destroying them. And there's a guy who owns them who gets upset at you when you do it.
Every time he gets pissed and every time he gives you a power for some reason anyway.
Yeah. And then there's like all these little background references to different video games and foreground references. Like that encounter I was talking about where you get chased, you actually end it by landing on an axe, similar to the end of the levels of Super Mario Brothers,
yep.
to destroy a bridge. And then there's like a poster for different luchador teams that are references to other video games,
yep.
Like the Casa Crashers and yep. stuff. Like, it's pretty fun. Like, it's got a nice sense of levity to it.
I'm a pretty big fan. Like, the references, I thought when I first saw a couple of them, I was like, okay, like, is this going to be just a full reference fest? But it's done with a light touch. It's not overbearing, and they play it off playfully instead of like it just being, hey guys, we know these games you like.
The whole game is very like good-natured, you know, so it doesn't feel crass. Like, it doesn't feel like Borderlands feels when Borderlands throws references into things, which just grosses me out, you know.
I cringed when you said the name.
Yeah. Like, I mean, for whatever Borderlands is, you know, which like I had like a reasonable amount of fun doing co-op with the first one for a little bit, but like every time there'd be throw a reference to another video game, it just felt like, whoa, you know, it felt
so
like Spike
forced.
TV. And this is much more subtle and charming. It's also like the game's real pretty too. Like, I'm not sold on the actual character designs of your character, but like the background stuff, like when you get a heart piece, the completed heart symbol is just really beautiful. Like, it's really bright. and colorful. And that's like not something you see a lot outside of, say, like Nintendo.
Yeah, it's nice, like cel-shaded art style. And yeah, like you said, it's they do a really good job of just making cool color contrast, and it all fits with the sort of Day of the Dead.
Yeah.
But it's very pretty and very well done.
It's also kind of like a masterclass in how to use, like, appropriate touchstones of a culture without feeling exploitive. Or, like, this is very much, you know, like, takes its entire aesthetic from you know, Day of the Dead and Mexico. But at no point does it ever feel like an outsider looking in on that.
Oh,
you know,
no, yeah.
Or disrespectful or belittling or anything. You know, like, it just feels like a celebration of this in, like, a way that I don't see often.
Agreed, yeah. It's very, very tactful, very nice, good set of the theme, and doesn't feel like it's...
It's not making fun of anything.
Yeah, it could have very easily rode the line between offensive if it wasn't as masterfully done.
Say if it was made by the creators of Borderland.
Right.
It would have been. It's like what an interesting kind of aesthetic and world to play with. You know, like there's Grim Fandango, you know, which kind of uses this aesthetic, and then that's it. Like, yeah. There's like a grand total of two video games that use this, and they're both great. You know, like, yeah. it's super rare. Like, as opposed, like, I've never played Shadow Complex, which is a Metroidvania, and I love Metroidvanias, but it looks really generic. Like, it's you exploring a Shadow Complex,
right?
You know, with guns, and like, that's, you know, I have a limited appetite for that. Even though I'm sure that's a really good game, I can't always get into the idea of exploring a corridors with guns.
Right. Yeah. You know, another laboratory and
exactly. Yeah.
Facility and yeah.
Yeah.
Concrete and guns and dim lighting, fluorescent lighting.
And this is just so the opposite of that.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's great. Like, I'm gonna beat, I don't know if I'll beat Volgar because it's hard. I'm going to make some progress in it, but I'm especially, and the fact that it's 9 hours is the only thing this game kind of got dinged on in the press. But I the shorter the better for games, like, for me. Like, I like a complete experience that's between 5 and 9 hours long,
yeah,
usually.
Yeah, that's amazing, like.
Yeah, for an indie game, that's what it should be. And you can't, like, I mean, I guess you can play, I guess that's about how long Super Metroid is. You beat Super Metroid in about, like, 12 or 13 hours,
I
think.
Yeah, a few hours more than that.
Yeah, but not too many more. So, like, that's what this supports.
Yeah.
Like, don't get in and get out before people get, you know, before you, like, people start hating you.
I'm actually really surprised that you heard bad press about the length of it, because I thought that was, like, a huge sell for me, was how perfect the length was for the type of game it is.
I think that, like, that's just a traditional kind of gaming press kind of thing. Like, they're still stuck in this dollar per hour value ratio equation that's, like, needs to die.
Right.
Like, you know, and I will never, I'm never going, the only way, like, if something feels like it's cut off halfway through, then, like, yes, that's too short. Mm-hmm. But if it's a complete experience, like, I'm pretty down with short games.
Right.
So
speaking of the length of it, I want to talk a little bit about a couple areas you haven't got to, but mm-hmm. There's one portion of it that is a set of challenge rooms. It's just a large, I don't remember how many, something like 28 or something challenge rooms. And the only thing that they are there for, it's kind of the theme that it's the old devil after this new, Calcutta or whatever guy has taken over. Mm-hmm. He displaced the old devil, and this devil is like turned into a chicken, and his offices are all filled with a bunch of workers who don't know what to do, and these challenge rooms are all just the office floors. And completing these challenge rooms with different, they all have different levels, like some of them are time limit, some of them are puzzle platforming, some of them are like attacking with or fights with special rules to them. Mm-hmm. But they all give you like a bronze, silver, or gold medal depending on how you completed them, whether it be like combo length or time or something like that. And getting 10 of each one of those medals unlocks a special costume that have special abilities to them. And for getting 10 gold medals, you unlock the devil's outfit himself. And that one's pretty fun because it reduces your overall health by a large margin, but makes you do a lot more damage. So it's a huger like risk reward deal.
Yeah. Can't you buy that costume from the vendor?
No, it says unlocked via, like, it's listed in there, but it says unlocked by completing this.
Oh, gotcha.
So, you can see all three of them, but all three of them can only be unlocked via these challenge rooms.
So they're just there so you can change, that's like a changing station.
Yep,
once you've unlocked them. Gotcha. Yeah, interesting.
And the challenge rooms are really fun. Some of them, like I said, are just like puzzle platform rooms, and they have a time limit to them. So it's just like restarting over and over again until you kind of optimize your movements to get through them as fast as possible. One of the ones I had a lot of real fun with, though, and there's a combat room where you can't use throws for one of them, and another one where you can't use dodges.
You can't roll dodge.
Yeah. And they're all like based on combo level you can get. And getting hit zeros out your combo. So
yeah, I can see that being really tricky and fun.
Yeah. Both those rooms are really, really tricky and super entertaining. They'll take you a good few restarts to actually get through, but they're actually really fun.
Do they come like in the game where you've already got your kind of verb set? Like at that point, like yes. are you pretty close to being mastered?
Yes. Okay. I think there's maybe one power that you don't have, and that power is not. I lied. When you get to it, the upper each floor in the building is blocked off by a block that you need a power to get to access. Mm-hmm. So for each room that you need the expanded verb set, you can only access it if you already have that power.
Okay.
So it stops you from going up the levels, and except for the ones that you already have the accessible powers for.
It stops you from going somewhere where you don't have the equipment you need.
Correct.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that sounds awesome. I think I'm like 3 hours in. I'm definitely gonna complete this.
There's one more like heavy challenge portion of the game, and it's not until you have the complete verb set, basically. And you have to go back through some of the older levels, and you'll find that there's blocks that you probably didn't realize when you were there the first time because you didn't know what they were for. But now you have the moves to get through those blocks. And what they are is they all lead to these very, very difficult puzzle platforming maps that you have to make full use of all your full verb set, and they are just incredibly like Super Meat Boy style challenges. And what you get for them is a piece of a luchador mask. And I think there's five of them. One of the luchador mask pieces you get by beating the last boss, but the other four you have to get by completing these very difficult challenge maps. And apparently what that does is unlocks a new ending when you get all the pieces. I didn't manage to do it. I got through two of the challenge maps, but I had a lot of fun like trying to get through those. I just didn't have the time to put in for the other one. So I would say probably 100% in this game is probably a good 9 hours or so.
Right on.
So.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll end up 100%ing it. Like I, you know, tend to, when things like that come up, I tend to just do it as much as I want to and then watch the alternate ending on YouTube.
Yeah, that's probably what I'll end up doing too.
Yeah, but the, I really love it. Like it is, I wasn't totally sure I would just based on looking at it and stuff. But I'm really glad that we decided to do it for the show. And yeah, I don't think we have a spoiler space.
No.
For this episode. So just by way of admin.
Rate, review us on iTunes, please.
Yes, indeed. Tell your friends if you like the show. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen to our other shows on the network if you go to duckfeed.tv. Mm-hmm. You can see a host of shows covering many different topics, all of which are well worth checking out.
Agreed.
And we will be back in 2 weeks with two more indie games.
As of yet undecided.
As of yet undecided for the people and by the people. If you have suggestions, go to duckfeed.tv/contact and lay them on us. Like we're always, we won't necessarily do them. Like we are limited by economics and, time constraints and stuff. Mm-hmm. But we're always happy to hear suggestions.
Yep. And you can throw those up on Twitter and Facebook too. I will see them. So.
Indeed.
All right. Thanks guys for listening. And we'll catch you next time.
Yep, see you next time.